Scripture reading this evening is found in 1 Peter, first letter of Peter. We'll read the whole of chapter 2. Our text is found in verses 13 through 17. Hebrews, James, and then 1 and 2 Peter. First Peter 2, verse 1, "Wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and evil speakings, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. If so be ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious, to whom coming, as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious. Ye also, as lively stones, are built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Wherefore also it is contained in the Scripture, Behold, I lay in Sion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. Unto you therefore which believe, he is precious. But unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner, and a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense, even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto also they were appointed. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, an holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness unto his marvelous light, which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Dearly beloved, I beseech you, as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul, having your conversation honest among the Gentiles, that whereas they speak against you as evildoers, they may by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation. Submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether it be to the king as supreme, or unto governors as unto them that are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers and for the praise of them that do well. For so is the will of God, that with well-doing ye may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. As free, and not using your liberty for a cloak of maliciousness, but as the servants of God, honor all men, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king. Servants, be subject to your masters with all fear, not only to the good and gentle, but also to the froward. For this is thankworthy, if a man for conscience toward God endure grief, suffering wrongfully. For what glory is it if when ye be buffeted for your faults, ye shall take it patiently? But if when ye do well and suffer for it, ye shall take it patiently, this is acceptable with God. For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also hath suffered for us, leaving us an example that ye should follow his steps, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth, who when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. For ye were as sheep going astray, but are now returned unto the shepherd and bishop of your souls." That far we read in God's holy inspired word. May he bless that word to our hearts. The text that we consider is found in verses 13 to 17. Submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether it be to the king as supreme or unto governors, as unto them that are sent by him, for the punishment of evildoers and for the praise of them that do well. For so is the will of God, that with well-doing ye may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men, as free and not using your liberty for a cloak of maliciousness, but as the servants of God. Honor all men, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king. Beloved congregation in our Lord Jesus Christ, do you despise the government that is over us? Or do you submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake? It's common nowadays to despise government. It's common. People say things like defund the police in their dislike of authority over them. Or they say question authority. Civil disobedience has long been accepted by the world as a way to get what they want, as a way to bring about change, maybe even with a good goal. They say, our goal is good, so we're going to go about it the only way we know how, or the only way that works. We're going to use civil disobedience. It's interesting reading to read up on that whole idea as the world puts it forward. I suppose it's expected that unbelievers will go about seeking their way using civil disobedience. But the fact of the matter is, even believers have fallen into that, using civil disobedience to achieve what they considered a good end. You can read up on this on your own, but a couple examples. John Brown, in this country in the 1850s, led an anti-slavery rebellion, and in the process ended up killing 5 people and ended up hanging for it. But he justified his civil disobedience by the fact that he had a good goal. Or maybe you're familiar with Dietrich Bonhoeffer, who was a German Lutheran and who was part of a plot to kill Hitler, who ruled over that nation. Many examples. But the text that we consider tonight exhorts us not to civil disobedience when we have a good goal, but rather exhorts us to submit to every ordinance of man. Submit to every human system of government. That comes in the context, in the first place, of the fact that we are elect people of God, that we have been begotten unto a lively hope. We have our citizenship not here in this world, but our citizenship is in heaven. We who are God's people have been purchased by the precious blood of Christ. And now, having that hope of glory, having been redeemed by the blood of Christ, looking forward to that perfect holiness that He has purchased for us, now we are called to be holy as God is holy. We have that hope in glory, but we also have that calling in this life. We are called to be holy. And that holiness will express itself, if you look at the context earlier in chapter 2, verse 11, there's one manifestation of our holiness when the apostle says, "I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts and have your conversation," verse 12, "honest among the Gentiles." Have your conversation, your conduct, honest among the Gentiles. And now the inspired apostle is going to give concrete examples of how our conversation ought to be among the Gentiles. And the first is the exhortation to submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake. I want to look at that particular theme tonight under the heading, "Submitting to Every Ordinance of Man." Let's first note the exhortation itself, what that means. Secondly, the reasons that the inspired apostle gives us that exhortation. And lastly, the possibility of following that exhortation. God's word to us, as those who are redeemed, as those who have the life of Christ within us, God's word to us is, submit yourselves to every ordinance of man. That's talking about every system of government. The ordinance is a system of government that has been established by man, that is run by men. Even though we acknowledge God is sovereign over all, men, under His providence, under God's providence, establish various systems of government. And by those systems of government, society orders itself. And we know that the apostle is talking about systems of government because immediately after that exhortation, he gives those examples. In verse 13, he says, after the exhortation, he says, "Whether it be to the king as supreme, or unto governors as unto them that are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers and for the praise of them that do well." It's talking about, every ordinance of man is talking about systems of government. Submit yourselves, we would say today, to the federal government. Submit yourselves to the state government and its laws. Submit yourselves to the city government and its laws. Submit yourselves to these different kinds of government as they enact certain laws, whether to punish evildoers or to reward those who do good. We might wonder about the wisdom of governments over us. But the Holy Spirit still says, submit yourselves. Put yourselves under. Then in general, we're going to talk about qualifications in a moment, but in general, it means obey. Obey the laws. Don't rebel against the laws. Don't rebel against authorities that are over us. We don't get to pick and choose. Well, I like this law, so I will submit to this one, but I don't like that one, so I'm not going to submit to it. The text says, submit yourselves to every ordinance of man. All the different levels of government, and then also in general, to the laws that they enact. When the government says, pay a certain percentage of your hard-earned living, pay your taxes, then we may not say, I refuse to pay my taxes to a wicked government. Even Jesus, when he was confronted, said, render unto Caesar the things that are Caesar's. Never mind that Caesar was a wicked man. And when the government posts certain laws about how we use the roads, we may not say to ourselves, that's a stupid law. I'm going to go as fast as I want. The text does not say, submit yourselves if you happen to agree with those laws, but every ordinance. It doesn't matter what we think about them. And again, we'll get to qualifications in a moment. But think of Peter when he wrote this. Emperor Caesar Nero was probably ruling at this time. And Nero hated Christians and persecuted Christians. And yet Peter says, submit yourselves to every ordinance. And that word king refers to the emperor, refers then to the Roman emperor. There is an exception, however. In general, yes, we are called to obey, but there is an exception, and the exception is this. If the government that God has placed over us in His providence, if that government commands us to do something that is against the law of God, if they command us to disobey God, if they command us to sin, then we may not obey that government. Then we must disobey. We still have a submissive attitude. We don't take up arms now against that government. But we refuse to obey those laws that cause us to disobey God. That's the exception. When Peter and the other apostles were captured, so Peter is speaking also from personal experience. When they were captured by the chief priests and they were commanded by the Jewish rulers, commanded not to preach in Jesus' name. Children, do you remember how Peter and the apostles responded? We must obey God rather than men. Or Nebuchadnezzar in the Old Testament, when he commanded Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they must bow down to the image that image that Nebuchadnezzar had set up, they refused. They still had a submissive attitude. They didn't take up arms against Nebuchadnezzar, but they did answer boldly, "We will not serve thy gods." So there may come a time in our day when it will be illegal to say in the church and from the pulpits or in other places, it may be illegal to say Jesus Christ is the only way of salvation. And then we must disobey. Then we must obey God rather than men. We must continue to preach the whole counsel of God. And that goes for other portions of God's Word as well. It may be a punishable crime to speak against the horrible sin of homosexuality. But we say we must obey God rather than men. There are some people that use that exception, so we need to, in a wrong way, so we need to say a little bit more about that. When they hear we must obey God rather than men, they interpret it to say we must only obey God and we don't have to obey men ever. And then they say as long as it's for a good cause, then it's all right to disobey authority. Maybe a good cause such as abortion. We ought to oppose abortion. Abortion is a horrible crime. But that does not give us the right now to disobey the law and say murder abortion doctors or to disobey the law in other ways. God still calls us to submit to every ordinance of man. There are lawful ways, and those ought to be pursued, lawful ways to have evil laws overturned. But we may not disobey the laws of the land, even when the goal might be a good goal. Submit yourselves to every ordinance of man whenever, there's that qualification again, whenever we are able in good conscience to do so. Why? What are the reasons that the text gives that we are to submit ourselves to the governments over us? And the text gives, in the first place, one answer to that. When it says about the governors, verse 14, they are sent by him, that is by the king, for the punishment of evildoers and for the praise of them that do well. It's not a wrong motive to say to ourselves, well, I don't want to pay a fine and therefore I'm not going to speed. Or I don't want to go to jail for tax evasion, so I'm going to submit and I'm going to pay my taxes. And it might be also that the government offers certain incentives. The text speaks of that when it speaks of for the praise of them that do well. That's talking about a certain reward that the government might give. I don't say that's a wrong motive, but even the wicked will use that motive. That ought not be our primary motive, the reason that we submit to government. That's not the main issue. What am I going to get out of it? What will happen if I disobey this law? That's not the final issue. That's not the main issue. The text gives us a much greater reason why you and I should submit to those authorities over us. When it says, after the exhortation, submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake. That's the reason why you and I should submit to the authorities over us. For the Lord's sake. The issue is, when it speaks of the Lord, it's speaking about the Lord Jesus Christ. The issue is, how will He be glorified by the way that you and I submit to the authorities over us? And now this brings us back to the cross. When we consider, and this is the previous context, when we consider He has purchased us with His precious blood. He has made us His own possession. And after all that He has done for us, how shall we express our gratitude? How can we glorify Him? For the Lord's sake. That idea of seeking His glory is bound up in that. Submit yourselves for the Lord's sake. How is that going to bring glory to the Lord? Verse 15 answers, for so is the will of God. That word "for" at the beginning of verse 15 gives the explanation. For so is the will of God, that with well-doing ye may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. There are foolish unbelievers, and that's what it's talking about. Foolish men who reject God. Foolish unbelievers will try to make any excuse to persecute God's people. They will try to label God's people as subversive to society. They will say that we are dangerous to society. But if we submit to the government that is over us, in every way that we are able, without going against the law of God Himself, we take away those excuses. They cannot rightly say that we are subversive. They cannot rightly say that we are dangerous to society. So we put them to silence. We take away that excuse. We make it so that they don't have an occasion to say, see, these Christian people, they are the ones that are causing all this trouble. So we don't give them occasion to blaspheme God and believers. But I believe there's another reason. When it says we put to silence the ignorance of foolish men, we talked about that earlier, how men would glorify God in the day of visitation. And that may be that they glorify God when judgment is pronounced upon them. But that day of visitation may also refer to, and I believe that that is the case, to the day when God visits them and saves them, uses our witness to save some among them. We put them to silence. And God even uses our witness to cause the rulers to give praise to Him. And now I give a remarkable example again, going back to Nebuchadnezzar. When Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego refused to submit to Nebuchadnezzar, refused to obey his wrong command, rather, and then he decided to punish them and throw them into the fiery furnace, God used that. God used the witness of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego to draw out of Nebuchadnezzar words of praise. Listen to his words, Daniel 3, verse 28 and 29. Then Nebuchadnezzar spake and said, "Blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who hath sent his angel and delivered his servants that trusted in him, and have changed the king's word and yielded their bodies that they might not serve nor worship any god except their own God. Therefore I make a decree that every people, nation, and language which speak anything amiss against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego shall be cut in pieces and their houses made a dunghill, because there is no other God that can deliver after this sort." God used Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego to bring forth words out of Nebuchadnezzar's mouth that gave glory to God. But now there's another reason, beloved. When we say, "for the Lord's sake," speaking of Jesus Christ, it refers to Him as Lord, who is also Lord, that is, the Master, the Governor, over all things. Jesus Christ, by His rule of power, rules over governments. He is Lord. And that means He has put, by His providential rule, the governments that are ruling over us in this world. For the Lord's sake, then, means when we submit ourselves to those governments, we are in fact submitting ourselves to Jesus Christ our Lord, who put those governments in power, even wicked governments. That's Romans 13, to give another passage to support that. Romans 13, verse 1 and 2. "Let every soul be subject to the higher powers," speaking about higher authorities, "for there is no power but of God." All the authorities that exist upon the earth are of God. That is, they have their source in God. God is the one who providentially put them into power. There is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. "Whosoever therefore resisteth the power, resisteth the ordinance of God. And they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation." If you and I want to submit ourselves to God, we will submit ourselves also, as far as we are able, to those governments that God has placed over us. Yes, we are citizens of heaven. That in the first place. But we also have a citizenship here in this earth. Yes, we are strangers in this world. And no, we are not of the world. But we are still in the world. God still leaves us in the world. When He saves us, He doesn't take us immediately to glory. And therefore, we are under, because we are still in the world, we are under the ordinances of men. Romans 12, verse 4 says that the government that God has instituted, God uses for the good of the church. Even persecution that governments may bring about are for the good of the church. Think about the persecution in the early days of the church, how God used that very persecution to spread the glorious gospel of grace. God uses governments for our good. Romans 12:4 calls him a minister of God to thee for good. So that when we honor the King, implicitly, we are showing our honor to God, our reverence for God. That's verse 17 of the text. That's the connection. The very end of the section that we're considering. Honor all men, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the King. Honor, the text says, all. The word men is in italics in our translation because it's not there in the original. Honor all. And the idea is, give honor to all those to whom honor is due. Honor fellow believers. Yes. Love the brotherhood. Yes. Certainly, honor God. Fear Him. Absolutely. But also honor the King. Honor those who govern over us. That, beloved, is impossible in ourselves. When the text says, submit to every ordinance of man by ourselves, apart from the grace of God, we would always act selfishly. Now, it's true, we might outwardly obey a certain law, the civil authority over us, but we would never do so. I'm speaking about apart from grace. We would never submit for the Lord's sake. There's no possibility arising from within ourselves. Because without the grace of Christ, we were in bondage to sin. But now the apostle speaks of us not as in bondage, but he gives the possibility in verse 16 when he says, as free. He's given the exhortation, and then he says, as free. You and I have been freed from that bondage. Now that freedom is not a freedom from any and all duties. The Holy Spirit gives us a duty in this text. Submit yourselves to every ordinance of man. So there's a duty right there. We are not freed from all and every duty. but we are free. In Christ, however, we are servants of God. That's also verse 16. As free, and not using your liberty for a cloak of maliciousness, but as the servants of God. In other words, we are free from the bondage of sin. And now the possibility of submitting is that we are servants of God. The possibility of submitting is that God has given to us the life of Christ. There's the first part of the epistle, begotten unto a lively hope. We have been given that life from above. With Christ and in Christ, we are free to serve. That is, free to serve God as servants of God. Be careful, however, when we look at that freedom and don't say to ourselves, well, I am free, and then use that as an excuse to sin. That's verse 16 as well. As free, and not using your liberty or your freedom for a cloak of maliciousness. A cloak of maliciousness is a cover over evil. It's an excuse. So we may not say, well, I'm a citizen of heaven. I don't have to obey governments in this world. I'm a citizen of heaven. I'm free in Christ. I don't have to be honest with my tax return. I'm free in Christ. I don't have to follow the laws of the land. I'm free in Christ. But if we think that way, we're using our freedom as a cover, as an excuse for maliciousness, for evil. That's putting ourselves in the same camp with those who say, let us sin that grace may abound. We have been made free. And now God, in Jesus Christ, gives us grace so that we want to submit ourselves in a right way to every ordinance of man so that God will be praised. Is that your desire, beloved? To submit to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake? Well, I fall short. We all fall short as regards that calling. But then we come back to the Lord. The Lord who purchased us. The Lord who has said to us, there is forgiveness in Him. 1 John 1 verse 9, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We can't rightly submit in our own strength. In our own strength, apart from grace, we will only do that which is selfish. So not only must we pray for forgiveness, but also for grace. Grant it, O Lord, not only that we would desire, but that we would also do according to Thy good pleasure Grant it so that thy name might be praised. Amen.